mankind. He had to do all things well. He would not fail.
He left no stone unturned. He finished everything. No uncompleted task in the journal of the king. They tried to stop his work. They even put him in a grave.
He left no stone unturned,
but he left one rolled away.
No rest on the road for the Savior of the soul. No pillow for the head, for the one who raised the dead. To heal lame and blind, required over time. He worked till the end, to be the sinner's friend.
He left no stone unturned, he finished everything. No uncompleted task in the journal of the king. They tried to stop his work. They even put him in a grave.
He left no stone unturned,
but he left one rolled away.
From the manger to the mission, from the cross to the grave,
to the grave. Left no stone unturned, he finished everything. No uncompleted task in the journal of the king. They tried to stop his work, they even put him in a grave.
He left no stone unturned,
but he left one rolled away.
Rolled away.
If you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, please, this evening. I'm sorry, the book of Matthew. I'm sorry about that. Matthew chapter 27. As you find that, as you're able, would you stand to your feet in Matthew 27. Before we read the scriptures, I mentioned this morning, and I'm sure most or all of you have heard already, Brother Glasgow went to heaven a couple days ago, and he was ready to meet the Lord and to be in heaven, and so we want to pray for the family. We don't have any details about service or anything at this point, but he'll be missed. But thank you for your prayers and your kindness and things of that. He was joking until the last days, if you could imagine that. And he was a jokester, and so had a good time getting to spend some time with him. But please pray for their family. Matthew 27, and we'll look at verse number 57 and reading down to verse number 61. Matthew 27. And verse number 57, the Bible says, "When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher." Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this Sunday, and what a beautiful resurrection day, Lord, as we get to celebrate the risen Savior. Thank you for that. Thank you for souls being saved and for the work that you continue to do in our heart and our lives. Thank you for your church. Please bless the service tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I was reading through the resurrection story, there's so many different people that arise in different parts, and one of these people is Joseph of Arimathea before the tomb. And Joseph of Arimathea only shows up in this part of the burial of Jesus. You don't see him in another place in Scripture, but God placed him there, and God used him as he was willing, and the message is a special disciple for a special task. And it was really an unusual person. If you look through Scripture, he's mentioned in all four of the Gospels. Arimathea was a town nearby Jerusalem, and there's some discrepancy as to where exactly it is, but somewhere nearby. But Joseph of Arimathea, this disciple, that he begged the body of Jesus and prepared his body and laid it in the tomb, and God used this man in a great way in the preparation of the body of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this as we come to the close of our Easter Sunday by kind of doing a backtrack to before Jesus was placed in the tomb for those days. Jesus was nailed to the cross and was crucified, but his life wasn't taken, it was given. And he shed his blood and the sayings on the cross, and as he finished with that, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost, and the earth quaked, and the temple veil was rent, and the soldiers next to him said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." And as Jesus hung there at some time after that, Joseph came by to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And Pilate asked to make sure that Jesus had been dead or had been for some time, and granted him that task that he gave to him. Notice this, that all the disciples had fled other than John the Beloved, who was at the foot of the cross. Where he was at this time, we don't know. The other disciples had all fled. Judas had betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and had hanged himself. Peter had gone off and cursed Jesus and had walked away from the Lord. The other disciples had left, and so there was just John the Beloved and the Marys at the foot of the cross, and Jesus gave his last breath and hung on that cross, and our Savior hung there for us. Remember that. He hung there for us and went to the grave for us. And Joseph, after that, came and again asked the body of Jesus Christ, and he was granted that. You'll see in all four of the Gospels, you see this Joseph of Arimathea, that God used him in one place of Scripture to do one special task for the Lord. I always think about that. If you lived in the times where the Word of God was written and God planned to have you as a part of Scripture, I'd want to be on the good side, not the bad side of history when it came to Scripture, wouldn't you? To be that one to think, you know, oh, all he was known of is he betrayed, or even Judas when he was chosen to be a disciple, and he called the disciples and Judas the traitor. And that's what Judas was known as. But Joseph Arimathea, he was used by God and willingly used by God to be part of the burial of Jesus Christ. As we look at this, I have 3 points tonight. Don't intend to be long. You're probably all sleepy from your large meal you had this afternoon, or from sleeping through choir. And sorry if some of you didn't get the notices on those. But a special disciple for a special task. But understanding this, that God is a special task for everyone. And there's no small task for the Lord, right? Yeah, there's no small thing to do for God. You think, oh, I just helped to get a bus fixed. That was a big task. I just helped to drive a bus, or I helped to teach a class, or to help kids walk on a rope going down the road to the field. And I just did a small thing and just helped in the library or the nursery. There's no small task for the Lord. And if you get a part in the work of God, that's a great work. That's a great work, whether you're named or not. There's many people in Scripture that they're not even named. A certain man and a certain woman or someone, and they're not even given a name and not much about them. But you get a part of God's special work. God's special work. Whether someone knows or doesn't know, recognizes you or not, is not the important part, because God knows. And you get to be part of God's special work. I want to look at a few points tonight, not a deep message at any point, but as I was preparing for the Easter message, it's just popped out to me as Joseph of Arimathea, in another passage, Nicodemus in the book of John says that Nicodemus also came, the one that in John chapter 3, as he met with Jesus at night, and he also was one of the disciples of Jesus and helped for the burial of Jesus. The first point tonight is this, that Joseph was an unlikely disciple. He was an unlikely disciple. In the book of Matthew in chapter 27 and verse number 57, the Bible says here, "And when even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea." You don't find that often in Scripture, of a rich disciple of Jesus Christ. Many of the disciples of Jesus, not that you could not be, but many of the disciples were people of lower the lower rank, if you will, on monetary scales and of talents and things. But Joseph of Arimathea, he was a rich man, the Bible says, of Arimathea. And he came and begged the body of Jesus. He was an unlikely disciple because he was a part of the council, part of the Sanhedrin. If you know much about that, they were a part of the convicting of Jesus going to the cross. He was a part of that crowd. But I want you to look over in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 50. And we'll circle around to a couple points tonight that I want to show you. As you look through the Gospels, you see different truths that God puts in different places. And some of it you have to put the pieces together to see what God is telling you from different points of view or different people that God points out. But in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 50, I'm one page off here. In verse number 50, the Bible says here, "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was a good man and a just, and the same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God." He was part of the council that they consented unto his death, but not Joseph. He was an unlikely person that when he stepped out of the crowd and he asked asked Pilate for the body of Jesus, they went, "You? You?" And we'll look at some more points of this in a little bit, but he was an unlikely disciple. Many times in Scripture and in life, you see some unlikely people that do a great work for God. Again, there's no small task for God, and there's no small person that does a task for God. Anything you do for God is a great task, and it is a great work, but God uses unlikely people. He uses people that aren't talented, that don't have any money to speak of or possessions or much to give, maybe those that are older or younger. You see all through Scripture, but he was an unlikely person, an unlikely disciple that was called. Many of the people that Jesus called, they were the beggars, and there was children, and there was the sick and the diseased and people of lower rank in life, if you will. But Joseph was someone of rank, and again, so was Nicodemus. And they were both people that had some kind of standing. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. But God chose to use them. But more importantly, they chose to be willing to be used by God. And may we be willing to be used by God for whatever the task may be. And they thought, "I want to do something for the Savior." He hung on the cross. And you'd picture as everyone had left, and they said, "He can't stay there like that. He needs a proper burial. He needs a tomb to go into." There was an unlikely disciple. But number two, I turn over to John chapter 19, that he was a secret disciple, the Bible says. John chapter 19 and verse number 38. Again, he was part of the Sanhedrin, and it was not a popular thing for someone in the council to be with Jesus. It was not popular to be a disciple. And in John chapter 19 and verse number 38, the Bible says here, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus." But the Bible says he was a secret disciple, and he was working behind the scenes. Now, some may look at that as a bad thing to be a secret disciple or a secret Christian, and we don't need secret Christians today, but he was doing the work of God where he was, and God used him. He was a secret disciple, and again, one of those things where someone that was more unknown, that someone didn't know his name and didn't think, "Oh, he's going to do something for God someday. I'm sure he's going to be the one to have his tomb to house the body of Jesus Christ." No one would have expected and pointed him out of the crowd. It was an unexpected person. It was a secret person from the crowd that God wanted to use. I want you to look over in Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15, he was an honorable disciple. Matthew 15 and verse number 42. Matthew 15, 42. "Now when even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came went in boldly into Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And the Bible says that he was a good, in the book of Luke, he was a good man. He was a just man. In the book of Mark, it says he was an honorable counselor, that he did right. Although no one else around him maybe did, and they had all the secret counsels that night and broke all the laws that there were to break to convict Jesus to put him to death, but he was an honorable and just man that God used. In the book of Luke, we turned there already, he was a faithful disciple. He was faithful. Again, you think, where were the other disciples? And where was everybody else at this time? They had fled. But God raised up someone that was willing to be used, and this was this man named Joseph. I want to give you a few points tonight that I believe can be a help to us. Point number one is this: he risked his life and his reputation. He risked his life and his reputation. The person that was just crucified on the cross, he said, I want his body. He was naming himself as a disciple of Jesus, saying, I want his body, and I want his body laid in my tomb. He risked his life and his reputation. He risked everything that he had on this earth for Jesus Christ. How many times we put our life before God when God put his life on the line for us? Amen. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus laid his life down for us. Can we say, but God, what's it going to cost me to do something for you? It's going to cost me an afternoon, an evening. It's going to cost me getting out of my comfort zone. And what am I going to risk in my workplace to say, well, I'm a Christian. I know God. Can I tell you about Jesus Christ? He risked his life and his reputation for the Savior, because the Savior gave his all for him. Because the Savior gave his all for you and for me. So before we say, what is God asking from me? Think about what God did to give his life for you. God gave his all for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. God gave his all for you and for me. And Joseph thought, well, how could I not risk everything for the Savior? He risked everything. The Bible says in the book of Mark, we looked at it already, that when he came to Pilate, the Bible says he went in boldly to Pilate and he craved the body of Jesus. I don't know if he came in kicking the door down or swinging it open. I don't know if he shook his finger in his face. And Pilate knew that he was a just man and tried to cleanse his hands from Jesus' crucifixion and try to get himself free from that. But when he came in boldly and he said, I want the body of Jesus Christ. He risked his life, his reputation, his job, his standing, his everything to be named with Jesus Christ. What are you willing to risk to be named with Jesus Christ? Again, too often we look, what is it going to cost me? What do I have to give? And let's be honest, in today's day, how much are we really risking to be named with Jesus Christ? Many times not much. But he was risking his all. He risked his life and his reputation. He rejected popular opinions. He rejected the popular opinions. The Bible says he was the counselor, the Bible says, with the Sanhedrin. And it says the same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He would not side with them. I believe there were 71 in the Sanhedrin. And maybe he was the one that was against putting Jesus to death. Guess what? If you're the one that you're not voting with everyone else, everyone knows who you are and you're marked. Everyone knows your name and who you are and where you live and all of that. He rejected popular opinions, said, I don't care what everyone else thinks. I'm siding with Jesus. He was not consenting to the death and to the counsel and the deed of them. He rejected the popular opinions. There's a lot of popular opinions today that Christians have no business siding with the opinions of the things of this world. Even other Christians that are siding with the popular opinion of the wicked ways of this world and the way that California goes, right? And so often Christians want to cave in to the way that this of the world's thinking and say, well, I don't want to cause any waves. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. We're not the ones causing the waves. They are. Amen? You stand for right no matter what the popular opinion is. You say, well, everyone else in my work is doing this. If it's wrong, I'm not doing that. And if that happens here, we have got a problem because I work with everyone at the church. And so if everyone's doing the wrong thing, we got a problem here. But rejected popular opinion, whether it's workplace, whether it's family, whether it's in society today, it doesn't matter what popular opinion says. And Joseph said, I'm going to side with Jesus Christ. And then lastly tonight, he gave something precious to Jesus. Turn back to the book of Mark in chapter number 15, please, and we'll end with this passage. We're going to work at getting you out before 7 so that you can get to your meeting and get home and get your late night snack. I've got to ask, who ate ham today? A lot of ham eaters today. Oh, man. Oh, you know, we did too. Yeah, we did. Yeah. Sausage. We're in there as well. My hand's up to you. All right. I'm thinking about dinner, if you haven't noticed that already. Planning what's to come. That usually happens on the car ride home, and we take a vote, and then Dad decides what we're actually going to eat. Mark chapter 15 and verse number 46. When they gave the body to Joseph, the Bible says in verse number 46, and he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and pulled a stone upon the door of the sepulcher. Look at that. Joseph did all those things. You notice that? He bought the linen. He took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in the sepulcher that was hewn out of rock, which, by the way, he chipped it out himself. And without modern technologies or equipment, and rolled a stone upon the door of the sepulcher. Last point tonight is this. He wanted to give something precious to Jesus. He wanted to give him something precious to the Savior. He said, "That's the Savior gave me everything. He gave me life. He gave me eternal home in heaven." And he went out, and the Bible says he was rich. He said, oh, he had money to spare. He bought the finest linen, the Bible says. He bought fine linen. He took him down. He did the work to take his body, to prepare him. And Nicodemus, in another passage, would join him as well. He laid him in the sepulcher that he had prepared for himself, but laid Jesus there and rolled the stone upon the door. He wanted to give something special, something precious back to Jesus. He wanted to give to the Savior that had given him so much. You say, I don't have much to give Jesus. You give Jesus what you have. You have something precious to give to Jesus. He said, I don't have much money and I don't have much time. I don't have much talent. I don't have much of anything. But what I give to Jesus, I want to give him something precious from my heart to him. For Joseph, it wasn't about the recognition. It wasn't about the name. He wasn't standing there pointing everyone to show him what he did. He just wanted to give back to the Savior. He sacrificed for the Savior. He gave to the Savior. He gave of his time, he gave of his efforts, and he wrapped his body. He took careful attention to prepare his body and to place him in that tomb and gave him that tomb that he prepared for himself, but put the Savior there. And so this is something precious that he put some labor into that he wanted to give to the Lord. You have something precious to give to the Lord, young person. You have something precious to give to the Lord, senior saint, single a young man or young lady or adult, you have something precious to give to the Lord. You think, but no one's going to notice, and what's the big deal? If God puts on your heart and God has a task for you to do, and you say, I get to do something precious and special to give back to the Lord. Instead of saying, why are they asking me to do that? Why do I have to do it? You think, I get to do something precious for the Savior because he gave so much to me. If you can see here the spirit of Joseph, he didn't have to do this for God. He wanted to do this for God because he loved his Savior. That's really what it comes down to. He loved his Savior. He was a disciple. He was a follower and said, I want to do something that he got to be a part of history. He got to be a part of Scripture and saying, I got to take the body of Jesus. I got to wrap and put in that tomb. But when that tomb was opened again, his body was not there. The grave clothes were laid there and folded neatly, but his body was gone. What's something special that he gave back to Jesus? A special disciple for a special task. This is a task that God has for you, that God has for me. Again, when the Savior has given me so much, how could I not give back to him? When God has given me everything, has given me life and given me salvation and a home in heaven and a family and food and a church and clothes, and we could be here all night talking about the blessings that came from God and that continually coming from God, that He daily loadeth us with benefits, the Bible says. How could I not give back to God? Say, I want to do something precious for the Savior. And when you do something for God, you do it in the name of the Lord, and God will bless you for that. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the importance of this man named Joseph in Scripture that risked his life, risked his reputation. He rejected the popular opinion and just wanted to give something special back to Jesus. Lord, may our names, may we not be worried if our names are recognized or accounted in history somehow or put on the side of a building, but may we look to do something for the Savior. There's many faithful saints today that labored for you, Lord. And Lord, I believe you were blessed by that. I believe that you were lifted up and you were honored by the work that's been done. But may we continue to look for something special we can do for the Savior. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you stand to your feet as the lady